Amen. Quickly, you Dolians. Is that what you're called? Dolians? Dolanites? I like that. I like that. Dolan Baptist Church, if you will, we got to jump into this right from the very get-go. Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn into it. If you have your phone, turn it on and find the scripture wherever you have it. It's going to be on the screen for you. But I've got to start because I'm excited about this. And if this thing will lift up, I'm moving down here. Is that okay? There we go. There we go. Oh, yeah. There we go. Right there. Colossians chapter 1. Let's quickly look into this because this is going to be something that I want to share with you. My wife and I want to share this with you. And you may say, well, Greg, you don't have any maybe association with this church. And you're just a visitor. Well, I have to disagree with you because I'm buddies with your pastor. Mike and I are buddies. We have been through so much time together in small group Bible study at 6 o'clock in the morning at Chick-fil-A there in Tomball, going through Purpose Driven Church. We've even gone through Experiencing God there. And I got to have a taste of seeing the calling of being a pastor through that time that I had with him. If you don't know, anointed things change things. Anointed things change things. And Chick-fil-A biscuits are anointed because it changed Mike. All right? Amen? So I have association with you because I am buddies with your pastor, but also I'm qualified because I spent an entire week sleeping on your floor here at the church on a mission trip that we came. So that's how I'm associated with you. All right? But here's what I want to share with you, these passages of Scripture. So it was written by somebody else, but it's almost my heart that I want to share with you. And this is coming from Christy and I. So instead of reading I'm going to say we because this is coming from my wife and I to you. Let's hop into this and see what it says. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 8. And here's what it says. Follow along. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Amen. That is us to you, Dolan Baptist Church. And this right here, this scripture will actually, it's speaking the truth. Because we see absolutely incredible things taking place. Now, I'm not a professional judge of churches, okay? I don't do that. And I don't want to judge a church. But you can tell a church just by driving up to the parking lot, okay? There is a thing when a church has it, you can feel it before you even step foot into the door, all right? That's what a church has to do and work on. So that when people come, they drive by, they just may look at Dolan Baptist Church and says that church has it. And it's the truth. That's the way the Spirit is. But if a church does not have it, people don't feel it, they're not going to need it. They're going to go somewhere else and find it. It's a relationship that you have with God that brings it. All right? So I see it. I feel it and I know it. Not only the change in the sanctuary since we... I mean, that back there, if that's the lower balcony, that back in the very back, that wasn't even here. That was an office. It was air conditioners and stuff like that. But this is beautiful. You guys are doing a great job. And I applaud you, and I'm happy for you. And our prayers are being answered for you. But we got to continue on. Don't be satisfied where you are. Okay? So this little sermon right here is going to be an encouragement to you. And this is my heart. Now, Mike did not tell me to preach this. The Lord told me to preach it. All right? So this is one of my favorite subjects that we're going to discuss here. And I'm not saying that you are doing this, but I just want to kind of give you a warning ahead of time that this could very well take place. If you are a Carol Burnett fan, Carbonette Show. Okay? Yeah, I was raised with that, but there was one sketch that I just absolutely love, and you may have seen this. It's the day and night shift. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, search it. You can watch it. It's hilarious. And here's the whole thing of the night shift. And I don't know which one came in or whatever, but I just know when I saw that, I thought, wow, this is a perfect illustration. Tim Conway was playing the husband. Carol was playing the wife. And all of a sudden, you see, I think it was Tim that was in bed. And the alarm clock went off, and in comes Carol walking through the front door. She is getting off of work. He is getting up for work. All right? So she has the night shift, and he has the day shift. So they get up, and the whole thing is they had this routine. And everywhere they walked within the kitchen, one would go to the restroom, one's in the kitchen, and then they would switch. And what was the funniest part, I think, was Carol would put in a piece of toast, all right, and mash the button. They'd go walking around. Tim would come around at the right time, the toast would pop up. He'd get it, take a bite, and eat it. And the whole thing was nothing but this. It was a routine. It was a ritual that they were doing. And then all of a sudden they kissed, and he went on to work. She laid in bed, and it kept repeating over and over and over. That would be a very boring marriage if Christy and I did that, all right? But church, there is a huge difference between a ritual and a relationship, all right? And that's what we're going to focus on. We don't want to get into the same routine of just doing this, and we can do it in our sleep, because basically they were both tired. And they were, had half of their eyes closed, I guess, and they were just doing it by memory because it was a routine. We can't do that. We can't do that. So this is what we're going to do. There are two areas where you can be with God. Number one is through a relationship. And this stands for this. It's a state of being connected. It's moving forward. It's growing. That's what a relationship is. You're connected to something. And that which you're connected, it takes both of them to be able to push you, to grow you in that. That is a true relationship. If a relationship's not growing you spiritually, or y'all are not moving forward, then you have to question that relationship. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's dating, whether it's friendships, or whatever it may be, a relationship has to continue to be moving forward. Another area that we can be with God is actually in a ritual. Okay? Some people are, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but This one right here kind of scares me, but the definition of a ritual is the observance of set forms, as in public worship. It's a procedure done at regular intervals. Now, we know some denominations that are set in rituals, all right? Hey, this church is not. All right, this church is not. Let me tell you why. It's because when I walked in here, I sat right there. Not one of you came up to me and said, "Excuse me, that's my chair." All right, that's not my chair. And another good sign of a ritual, of a non-ritual church, is that if I come back here next Sunday and you're sitting over there, you're sitting back there, you're sitting, and everybody's mixed up, that's healthy. That's healthy. There are no names on these chairs. When I check, I haven't seen it. If the church does, woo, watch out. All right? Relationship and ritual, those are two different things. God is into the relationship. Satan is into the ritual. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you routine. All right? If he can't make you bad, he'll make you routine. And you can be the greatest people in the world, but if you don't watch it, if Satan can't get a hold of your life, he'll say, "Well, I'm going to go this good way that I'm really effective with, and I'll just get your church life, I'll get your spiritual life into a routine, and we're fixing to get into that." But that's the way they are. Let me show you some comparisons to it. God is creative. If you don't believe it, look at yourself. He created you, and we are created in the image of God, so we're creative people. So if God's creative, Satan is playing. If God is active, then Satan is boring. If God is and loves to take you on an adventure, Satan is a couch potato. If God is exciting, then Satan is dull. God loves relationships. Satan destroys relationships. And the way he tries to do that is to get into a ritual. Your marriage is so important to God, and it's a commitment between each other. And what is so important for you to do as a husband and wife is not to get into a routine. We broke a routine because we were in the summer. Christy and I do youth ministry, and we get busy and stuff. And the next thing you know, we haven't gone on a date in a while. Well, last night we went on a date. We broke that because we've been so busy, and I hate to admit this, but we went to a concert. It was Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago. I mean, come on, man. And so you're wondering, you know, am I always this excited? But yeah, because I just came back from Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know. I was going to wear my bell bottoms and stuff, you know, and do all that, but I didn't. But here's what it did, is that we had a great time because there could be a little generation gap between my wife and I, and she looked at me and she goes, you know that song? I went, yeah. And then she starts singing a Chicago song, and she goes, you don't know that, do you? And I went, no, not really. So it was fun guessing the songs and singing along with the songs. But I'm just using that illustration. We did something different that we'd never done before. All right, and if we do the same kind of dates over and over and over, then that's going to get into a ritual. Next thing you know, we're going to lose touch with one another. All right? Okay, so let's go on. I love this little saying here, and you can't see it, but I put it all in caps and stuff. And so when I do that to myself, then it's that important. But believe me, it's all in caps. It says, what we do for Christ is a reflection of our relationship with Him. What you do for Christ is a reflection of your relationship with Him. All right? So if your relationship with Him is nothing but a routine, you're going to do that for Christ. But if your relationship with Christ is just booming and hopping and whatever the pastor's wife term was, it's going to be a reflection of it. What you do is going to reflect the way you are with Christ. And you can go up to somebody, you don't even know them, and you get to talking to them. Within a minute, you can tell what their relationship with Christ is. Because it's a reflection of that. You can't hide it. You can fake it for a while, but pretty soon you're going to get worn out. And then you're just going to go back to the way that you really are, because it's a reflection of our relationship with Christ. I want to, you don't have to turn to it, but I just want to show you this right off. God does not like rituals. I don't want to use the hate word. He hates rituals. He hates it when people are going through the motions in their spiritualness and maybe their life over here is not even where He is. But just listen to these words, and I think you'll get, if you don't hear anything else within this message right here, just listen to, God is just like, oh, I don't like this. Check this out. This is out of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 1. I'm going to start with verse 10. Just check this out. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of your God, you people of Gomorrah. Let me stop right there. If you're referred to Sodom and Gomorrah, you're probably not in line with the Lord right now, all right? I mean, that's a little sign right there that something's not right. It says, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is distasteful to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Now check this out. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. I will hide my eyes from you. And we're going through these rituals and stuff, and there's no relationship. And God said, that's not what I created you to be. I created you to be with me. And you're just going through the motions. We had a deal. I was in the Baylor band. This is a side note. I was in the Baylor band. We had this little saying. When we would play the Texas Longhorns, and we would sack the quarterback all the time. I mean, just all the time. And we would say this, all dressed up but nowhere to go. All dressed up and nowhere to go. And that's what ritual is. You look good. You're going through the motions, but you have nowhere to go. And then it says this at the end. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. That is where we do not want to be with the Lord. He never hears our prayers. He hides His eyes, and because this ritual will cause us to do that. Church, I'm telling you, you are not that. You could be, but you're not that. Where does a ritual start within a church? It starts with your spiritual life at home. That's where it starts. Okay? And so a church is made up of people, right? So the way the people are is the way the church is going to be. And I've learned that over the years of being a minister. And sometimes we try to make the church work when we ought to be focusing on the families, right? And the people and strengthening them when they come from their home. I mean, they're just pumped up, hopping. That's the way it is, because the relationship, actually, the church reflects the relationship that a member has with the Lord. That's beautiful. So let me give you a ritual test, okay? I'm just going to ask you one thing. Here's your ritual test and see if what you're doing with the Lord, your spiritual walk, or even this church, whatever, do you do things for and with God without even thinking about it? You know what I'm saying? Do you just do it for God and with God and you don't even think about it, anything about it? It just, you can do it in your sleep. That's the scariest phrase you can ever do in a relationship with Christ. I can do this in my sleep. Well, if it's that way, because I believe that God's doing a new thing. And if you can do it within your sleep, then you don't know when God's going to be doing a new thing because you're doing the old thing. Amen? So you got to continue doing that. That's the test. If you answered yes, then we need to evaluate that. Because I don't want to know what I don't want to know. Well, sometimes I like to know what the next step is. All right? But if God's doing a new thing, then I need to follow that. And I need to be in obedience. When does a relationship become a ritual? This will help you out, okay? So you're looking at yourself and you're saying, okay, Greg, I've got this relationship with Christ. And this church is in a relationship with Christ. And we know that this church is nothing but, you could call this church Relationship Baptist Church, right? I never thought of that. That'd be cool. But you had that. And so you're saying, whoa. I'm really concerned about this. I don't want to lose what we have. I don't want to halt anything that I have with the Lord. So what happens? When does a relationship become a ritual? Two things. You ready? When it stops growing your relationship with God. Whatever it is within church, within Bible study, within worship, within your personal worship, whatever it is, whenever that stops growing your relationship in the Lord, then that's when it becomes a ritual. Okay? Number two, when you stop seeing the newness of God. All right? You haven't, a lot of y'all been Christians for years, and you've been to church for years, and you've seen all of this of the Lord. I mean, there's nothing compared to what God can reveal of Himself. Did you know that it took me, I guess I was in the mid-40s, which was about 5 years ago, but when I realized it hit me. I mean, I've known John 3:16. I'm a preacher kid. That is our verse. As a preacher kid, that's the first one that you memorize when you're born. Before you get your first bottle, you have to learn John 3:16 because you got to share with it in sunbeams. You know, if you know what sunbeams are, that dates me right there, or RAs or whatever. So John 3:16, I've known it all my life, but about 5 years ago, I was reading it, and it says this. This is what John 3:16 says. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave," and I stop right there. "For God so loved the world that He gave." It hit me. See, I've been going through the motions. It's just been a routine. It's been a ritual. But once I stop and realize God loves me that He gave. He gave me a relationship with Him. And my whole ministry just changed. My whole philosophy. And you're like, hurry up, Greg. But that's the newness of God. That's always revealing things in the simple things. All right? So here is a warning. Relationships die when it stops. Anytime you stop, and people say, well, I can be a Christian and not go to church. So true. So true. But here's this. A fish is a fish when he's out of the water. Just like a Christian is a Christian when we're still a Christian when they're out of the church. Amen? But a fish is still a fish when he's out of the water. But what is the fish? It's dead. It's dead. So the church has... it's this avenue to keep this relationship moving, keep you excited, and keep you going, and help you to experience new things. It's not up to the church, but the church is an avenue to help you. Okay? I mean, I get frustrated at youth parents that come up to me and says, "I want you to save my kid. I want you to lead him to the Lord." And maybe a year go by, whatever, and then the kid may not be saved. And they'll come up and says, "You're not doing your job." And I'm saying, you know what? You're not doing your job. As a parent, you're called. I'm here to help you out. And if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. But if I have to do it, you're missing out one of the greatest joys of witnessing to your own kid. Ooh. Here's another warning. You ready? Check this out. You can become comfortable with your ritual that you will not notice God is absent. That is scary. And ritual people who don't even have any relationship with the Lord, who used to have that, now you don't lose Christ within your heart. Once saved, always saved. If saved, always saved. Let's put it that way. All right? So nothing can separate you from the love of God. But the relationship becomes stale. It can become stagnant. And when, because of that, you don't even know that the presence of God is gone. That is dangerous. And you think He's still there, but actually He's not. Here's another thing that I have found out, is that ritual people don't understand and they criticize the people who have a relationship for doing something strange and it's not of God. If you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're sitting there going, that is weird. That shouldn't be taking place. What? That's unheard of. For that to be able to take place in a ministry or within a church. It's because some people who are in this ritual, they don't understand. It's because they're not experiencing new things with God when these people over here are experiencing and they're just growing and they're abounding. What about the Pharisees? They didn't understand. Jesus, what are you? And they started calling him all names and even wanted to take his life. And he's like, oh, we're going to try to catch you. You're doing all this. You know, and Jesus is just going, it's a relationship with my dad. All right, it's not a bunch of laws and this ritual stuff that you have, but it's a relationship with my dad. Now, leave me alone. Now, Jesus probably didn't say that, but that's what I would have said. You know, I go to a conference, and it's what Mike goes to. It's the C3, Creative Church Conference. I introduced that to Mike, and he went, and man, he just loved it, and we've been going for several years now. One time, my wife and I were standing in line to go into the sanctuary. We got to strike up a conversation with this this gentleman, and come to find out, he goes to that church, Fellowship Church in Grapevine, with Ed Young Jr. As the pastor. I mean, it's a contemporary church, all right? I mean, they are out of the box, and that's what I like. I don't like boxes, and when I color a picture in kindergarten, I just love going out of the lines, all right? And teachers said that's wrong. I said, hey, that's just me. I just go. Anyway, that side note. Where am I? Oh, yeah, C3 Conference. Okay, we're sitting there talking to this man, and here we got, and we said, well, tell us about the church, because this church is just saving hundreds and hundreds of people. They got baptisms just like going crazy, and it's just mind-boggling. And he said, you know, I was at another church, and he said, I heard about this church, and I said, that's not real. That's not of God, because all of these salvations are taking place in the baptism. He said, I got to go check it out. So that which he is on the outside, not stepping in within that church, within that ministry, he had no idea. Once he stepped foot in, he realized it was of God, and this was real, and he wanted to be a part of that. All right? So he moved his letter, joined the church, and now that guy that we were talking to several years ago, he was just involved in that church, and he was excited. And he said, man, the Lord is awesome. What you experience here is what he experiences there at the church. But he had to step out of that and step into that to find out that it was not true. Because ritual people, they don't understand. They're like, that's unheard of. People being baptized or growth being taken place. I mean, step out, step in, and experience a relationship with Him. Now, let me just share with you this. I think one thing that we probably don't, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but if you've ever gone to John chapter 17 and check out the prayer of Jesus. Okay, this is before Jesus was arrested, and he prayed to the Father in three areas. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, but he also prayed for believers. All right, if you have not read his prayers, now this is our Lord and Savior. This is Jesus Christ, God in a body, who is praying to his Father. Now you say, well, he's praying to himself. Well, in some ways he is, but he's actually God in a body, and he's physically. And he's about to be taken, and he knows what's coming up, so he's praying. What? I mean, that would be a beautiful sight to be behind a rock or a tree when Jesus was praying, just to hear his prayers. But here's the last part is what I want to touch at. And here's how important it is for Jesus. This is how important it is for his Father, for us to have this relationship with God. You see, that's what Jesus was sent here in order for us to, for him to be that bridge from here to his Father. And so he took our place. You sinned, I mean, some of y'all probably sin today. We all should raise our hand up. But did you know that because of sin, there needs to be a punishment? And that punishment is death. But Jesus took it to the cross for us in my place. Thank you, Jesus. When you're up here worshiping, your hands are up and you're singing these songs and all of those songs, Jesus paid it all. All the way down to Marvelous Light. And these other songs like Stomping on the Devil. All right? I love it. Those, you can sing those because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That's why you sing it. But here, let me talk about this. Jesus prays for all believers. Let me just touch 4 points on this. And you're probably saying, did you make this up? No. This came from God's Word. These are actually what Christ prayed for. Here it is. Number one, here's what Jesus prayed for. He prayed this. I pray that all of them, this is believers, will be one just as you, pointing to his Father, and me, this is Jesus pointing to himself, and I, Jesus pointing to himself, in you. Okay, now that was kind of confusing there, but here's what Jesus is saying. I pray all of them will be one just as you in me and I in you. That is this relationship between Jesus and his Father was about as intimate as you can ever experience. Because, and people says, well, Jesus was actually God, but he was also human. He was human. He could have chose to sin. If not, then, that would have been easy. The reason why I don't sin is because I am God. No, he was Jesus. He was a man. And I would love to go back in those silent years and figure out, as a youth minister, and I know the temptations and the pressures that our teenagers have, and it's nothing new. We all have them. Children have them. Adults have them. Senior adults have them. And I don't buy that. Well, it's only hard for the teenagers. When they graduate, they're going to get into life, and it's going to be so much easier. Where is that coming from? All right? So I would love to go back and revisit Jesus' teenage years and just figure out, how did he do this? You know how he did it? Relationship with his Father. That kept him from it. And he chose to love his Father more than that of the world. So there, that's the first one. Here's the second one. He prayed, I pray they be in complete unity. Okay? So all believers be in unity. Why? To let the world know you sent me. Yeah. Why is it that we don't possibly go evangelize? Because we're not in a unity. We're not one. And we do that through that relationship with Jesus. We all come together and we get pumped up and then we just want to go out. You know, okay. This is not in my notes, but it's okay to do this because Mike does it too. All right? I know Mike's, he hunts, but he probably chases rabbits more than he hunts, right? All right, here we go. My favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible, and I use it for the youth ministry, is out of Mark chapter 2. And it's the one with the paralyzed man, okay, who needed healing and needed help. And those four compassionate people, remember, put him on a mat and picked up four corners, took him to Jesus. And the best part I love about it was crowded, because where Jesus is, there's a crowd. Something's going on. Jesus has it, so everybody wants it. So this guy that they're carrying in needed it. And they couldn't get into Jesus because of the crowd. So what'd they do? They became creative. And they went up to the top of the roof and put a hole in it and dropped him, not dropped him, but they lowered him down right in front of Jesus. Jesus did two things, which I love. He could have just healed him, that was it, but he forgave his sins and then he healed him. And this guy gets up and he takes his mat and he walks. That which he was carried in on, he is now carrying it out. The Bible stops there. But before it stops there, they say that everybody was amazed because they've never seen anything like this before. I know two things happened. That guy who was healed went out and shared with everybody what Jesus did. Number two, the people there saw what took place and they went out and shared with everybody what happened there. That's what happens. There was a unity, they experienced it, and if it's worth having, it's worth sharing. And so they went out and they shared it. So that's what Christ wants us to do. He prays for us believers to become unity, to become unified, so that we will let the world know that it's in him. Number three, here's what Jesus said. I want those you've given me to be with me where I am. Where's that? Heaven. That's what Jesus wants. Those that you've given me, I want them to come home with me. I want to come back and say, let's go. Your room is ready. Your house is ready. I mean, your mansion is ready. It's time to go. Let's go. All right? So that's what, and that's what Christ is praying for to God. And number four, the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Two things. He wants God's love in you, but Jesus also wants to be in you. Now, this prayer is nothing but this relationship. Because it says, be in, number three has be with, and number four, be in. So those things right there tells us that Jesus loves you so much, and he wants to be massively a part of your life, and he wants to do that through a relationship. And I'm so thankful that Jesus does not force us to love him. God does not just take us by the hand or by the back of the neck and push us into a relationship with him, because that wouldn't be love. And I use this illustration with the kids. I said, I love my wife because I want to love my wife. I choose to love my wife. I am in love with her. But what if someone said, Greg, if you want to love your wife, when I first got married and we exchanged vows and my dad performed our wedding and he said, hey, Greg, for you to love Christy, you need to take this brown pill. You need to take this every day, and this will allow you to love your wife. It'll just, I love Christy because of that pill. That pill is forcing me to love her, whether I want to or not. I'm so thankful there's no pill for me to love her. It is in my heart. I have a relationship with her, and I love her. All right? So that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants you to have a choice. It means more to us. It means more to him because we choose him above all other things. Guys, there are some great things. I said guys because I'm used to youth. People, there are great things that can become a ritual to God. I want you to I just jotted down seven of them. This is what I came up with. These are great things. But if you don't watch it, they can become a ritual. Number one is baptism. Baptism. I had the privilege of baptizing 20 youth in the lake at Glorieta, New Mexico. Cold water. But it was worth it. 20 kids. And it was different. It was out of the box. I mean, I love that baptistry. I love it. And I'm hearing you're baptizing a lot. But if you don't watch it, it can become just a ritual. Well, there's another baptism. And there he goes. Okay, they're wet. All right, they get a free T-shirt. Yeah, all right. And you get doing it. This right here can absolutely be. If you come to church and you have baptism, you worship. You experience the Lord. And it ought to enhance your relationship just by watching baptism. Number two, Lord's Supper. This is one that we have to really watch. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm just kind of encouraging you to watch out, all right, because you got a good thing going. Got a great thing going. But sometimes the Lord's Supper, which is very important to our Lord and Savior, for us as believers to take, sometimes they pass it, you take it, you hold it, after the prayer, you dip it. I mean, you chunk it down. And then here comes the bread. You take it, and it's all done. Before you know it, you walk out going, yeah, all dressed up and nowhere to go. Another one is this, prayer. Prayer become a ritual just by going through the motions. And I love the Lord's Prayer, but when I was in high school, it became a ritual before each and every sporting event. And the boys knew it, and the whole team knew it, and we went through it real quick. I mean, Cisco High School, we could say it fast. In India, we may not have won many football games, but we could say that Lord's Prayer fast. In fact, we were playing a big team. We were supposed to get clobbered by them. We were all nervous and stuff, and we said a prayer four times before the game even started. The coaches weren't even in there. The coaches were behind the locker room just scared to death. And they asked me, said, Greg, will you pray for us? I said, yeah, I'll pray for us. Blah, 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 blah. And I said a prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer, but I said a prayer. 10 minutes later, hey, Greg, will you pray for us? And I said, I just did. Oh, okay. Blah, 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 blah. And then I prayed again. And then finally, at the fourth time, I'm like, look, guys, God heard us. All right. Okay. So we prayed again. But prayer is something that you don't want to get into a ritual, because this prayer that Jesus did was not a ritual. It was heartfelt. I mean, he was sweating it. He was tearing it up. And he was just like, Lord, I want them to be in me. And it was for us. And another one that I wrote down here is your personal worship. Now, this is something that's not unique about me, but I'm a creative person. And like I said, I don't like routine. I like changes. And And sometimes with the youth, I'll teach or preach from the back. And when the music's over, I tell them to turn their chairs around. Or I'll preach with the lights off. I'll preach with all the lights on. Sometimes I even preach without saying a word. You ever seen a speechless or a wordless sermon? They're awesome. And you just kind of act it out, and you do that day, and it's quiet, and it works. But I just like to change things up. I mean, if I don't want to get into a ritual, and sometimes I do, and I have to change it up. But my personal worship is really fun because my family knows they don't really catch me doing a personal worship, okay? Because I'm not set for one central place, but there's nothing wrong with that. If that one central place, a certain time, going through the same thing, if that helps you grow in the Lord, it's great. If you're experiencing new things of the Lord, it's great. But you got to watch it, because the same thing over and over and over and over can just take you so far away from the Lord, because you're just going through the motions. I just do it wherever. However, I mean, I've got 100 places that I'll just have a personal worship. And that's just me. But you know what? I can be changing it here and there. But if changing it here and there becomes a ritual, then I can even myself. You know, think, well, we just got to change everything. Well, if you get into a ritual of changing things, that could be a ritual too. Guys, it doesn't matter what we do or how we do or when we do. It's that we do. All right? Increase our relationship and experience the newness of God. Bible study, of course, is one thing. That could be another thing. I put here worship. Worship is very, very dear to my heart, and I love hearing you worship. But these things that are great can become a ritual within our lives. And I put the last one here. I put obedience. You ever thought about that? Obedience could very well be a ritual in our lives. Yes, Lord. Yes, I will, Lord. I'm going to do this for you, Lord. And it's important to obey the Lord, but aren't there times I find myself obeying out of a ritual? It's just a routine of obedience. I mean, it's just with my parents, too. I mean, there for a while, I was obeying. Well, when I was growing up, I still obey them, but, you know. But when I remember growing up, I caught myself, especially as a teenager, just obeying them just because I knew I was supposed to and it was supposed to happen. But I wanted to obey them because I love my mom and dad, not because it just became a ritual for me. And the times that I did that, I sensed our relationship as a son and parents just kind of move away. But then whenever I was just obeying them because I love my mom and I love my dad, that's when it came back. Okay, so that's important for obedience, not to get into a ritual. So I want to just kind of close with just some help for you, okay? I don't have a moving story at the end, you know, just to wow you and stuff, but I just want to give you some help here, okay? How to stay away from whatever you're doing for the Lord becoming a ritual, all right? Here's number one: keep it fresh. Keep it fresh. God's always doing the new thing. I see that as God's doing a fresh thing. It's always fresh. And you know, a body of water that continually moves and stuff, that's when it's clear. But when it stops, that's when it comes mucky and muddy and stuff. You can't see the bottom because it just comes completely to a halt. But just keep it fresh, whatever it may. Just kind of the second one is this: keep it unpredictable. Okay? One thing, if Satan can get you to predict things within church, I mean, I was at a church years ago that I figured out the whole worship order in 2 weeks, and it never changed. It never changed. The only thing that changed was the tie of the one who was leading the worship. That's all that changed. And I was like, well, this is the same thing. I mean, and so things that are unpredictable are also good, because it's a spur of the moment thing. All right? Christ is going to be unpredictable when he comes back. I'm just letting you know. You don't know. Even Christ don't know when dad's going to say, go bring him home. Number three is to keep it creative. Well, I'm not very creative. I'm a boring person. No, you're not. Like I said earlier, you are a image of God. God is so creative. Look at his creation. He's so creative, he could create it in 6 days. All right? You are a creative person. And however it is, whatever you do for the Lord, if you can have that to be creative, just do something different. Take it a different speed. Take it a different direction. Face another direction. Whatever it is. If you stand up, sit down. If you sit down, stand up. Whatever it is. But just be creative in what you do for the Lord. And another one is this. It's to keep it growing. And I had this saying that if it's not growing, it's dead. Isn't that true? I mean, if it's not growing, it's dead. Look at the plants at your house. not the plastic ones, but the real ones, if that thing is not growing and it's going the opposite way, which would be down, it's dead. All right, so keep it. Keep it alive. Keep watering it. And it kind of goes with the fifth one, is to keep thirsty. Keep thirsty. I mean, just like, I got to have more. Got to have more. I just can't quench my thirst, and you just keep going and on and on. And the last one is this, with you and God, is to keep it dateable. Keep it dateable. What I mean by that, have you ever gone on a date with God? Have you ever gone on a date with Jesus Christ? Have you ever done that, just the two of you? Well, isn't that called a quiet time? Yeah. Isn't that called just kind of jogging and putting the earphones on and just with worship music, or mowing the yard with headphones on and you've got praise music? Isn't that what you thought? Yeah, that's right. Be dateable and have that desire to want to go and date the Lord. There's a song that has been out for a while, and I know you probably sing it. It's called Oceans. All right? I'm going to read just one portion of this, and this is what I want to close this with. Check out how important it is for our relationship. And once we're in that relationship, watch what God's going to do just by the words of this little bridge of the song. It says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior. And right here at this very moment, you can do something about that relationship. Whether it's a first time experiencing the Lord and asking Him to come and live in your heart, you may be going through the motions of coming to church and thinking that you're saved, just going to church, just reading your Bible. With that relationship with the Lord, you're lost. You're not saved. First, you believe and you ask Jesus, I know what you did on the cross. You did that because I'm a sinner. And I want you to come and live in my heart. And when He does that, you have that relationship the way He created you to be and to have with Him. Or you may be here going, you know what? I got myself in a rut. I'm just going through a routine. I'm in a ritual myself. And there's probably no better place and better time than right here today is to get rid of that ritual and just do something new, do something fresh, do something creative, do something unpredictable. Just go on a date, whatever it is, and you're going to make a decision right now, here and right now, to change, is to go into another direction, to break that cycle of a routine or a ritual, and to begin that relationship. And that's called rededication. That's called recommitment. Or you may be here wanting and looking for a church, and I know I'm not a member of the church. I'm here for the very first time really to preach and things like that. Huh? You got applications? Okay. Here we go. But you may be looking for a church, but I'm telling you, this church right here is relationship, okay? It's relationship. And if you're looking for a place to have a relationship with the Lord, with believers, which is called Koinonia, and if you do that, and if you want looking for a place, I'm telling you, right here. You don't have to go anywhere else. This is it. And God's moving you and calling you to join this church, then we want you to do that. It's called a moment of invitation. And that invitation is those three things. I want to invite you to respond to maybe what God is tugging in your heart. So I don't know if we're going to sing. I don't know if we're going to have music. We're going to have music because you're getting ready. I like that. But whatever it is, during this time, remember, this is worship. And if God leads you to make a decision, I'm going to be here. Rebecca will be up here. Whoever else comes up here to help receive, we want to receive you and help you into this great adventure, this purpose that you have in your life, and that is to have that relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, you are absolutely beautiful. And I thank you for showing how beautiful you are. And that beautifulness we experience through that relationship with you. And Father, whatever a decision is here this morning, I pray that we feel moved, we feel relieved, and we feel open to be able to respond to that which you have and you want us to do. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for having us in your heart, that you want to live not only in us, but around us, and for you to be so involved in our life. So, Father, we turn these next few moments to you. And I pray that you'll tug at their heart. And if there's anything grabbing our feet, wanting us to stay put, I pray that you will bind Satan and kick him away and that we can respond. Father, thank you. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.